Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The big story is Drew Brees. The big story yesterday was Drew Brees' statement that he made about the flag, and it'll never sit well with him. It's always disrespectful to not stand for the flag and all that stuff, and we'll play it again. And then today, of course, he got major pushback, as you said, Rob, and today he issued an apology. So we will get into all that. But first, let's hear a bit of his statement that he made.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place.
All right, that was Drew's statement. And then, of course, he got major pushback from athletes all over, all sports, basically because it was tone deaf, because he was playing into the hands of those, as you said, Rob, they changed the narrative.
Yes.
It was never about the flag, ever. In fact, what did Colin Kaepernick went out of his way to respect
Absolutely. The
flag and the veterans? He contacted Nate Boyer.
We had Nate Boyer on the show yesterday, Chris, and went over it. Yes,
there
we
you
did.
Go. Green
and
Beret.
So, yes, right. And he's the one who said it would be more respectful if you kneel instead of sitting on the bench. And we got into all that. But the other part is, Chris, and I wrote a column on Deadspin.com if you didn't get a chance to check it out.
Well, let's mention his apology.
Okay, go ahead.
Because that's what you want to.
Because the only thing I wanted to mention was about the grandfather thing. But go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob that. G. His apology, we'll read a bit of it.
Yeah, he had a very lengthy apology on Instagram with a clip art photo of a black hand and a white hand interlocked, which was very interesting, say the least. But here's
I thought that was me and your hand, Rob G. No?
No, it was just a nice clip art that you can find on any computer. He really dove deep for that one. But here's the first part of his statement. He said, in an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth and is not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character.
All right. Go ahead, Rob.
And then I wrote the column, and my lead on the column was his grandfather's went out the window pretty quickly, Chris, because that was the big thing, right, about the flag. And he basically backed down big time and walked it back because he understood. He got such pushback from so many people. And, Chris, it wasn't like, oh, well, whatever. No, people went at him. People said they used to respect him. When you start hearing stuff like that, because, as you know, Colin went through all this, and this 4 years ago, I think players now know that they missed a boat, Chris. And they didn't take Colin seriously, and they didn't realize what's happening or thought too much about the protest back then. But then to see George Floyd killed in live, living color, 8.5 horrible minutes, and see what's going on and what's happened recently, I think the last thing anybody wanted to hear is about the damn flag. And I say that just because that's how pissed people are. It's not a disrespect to the flag, but we're not going to let other people hijack what is going on here and the movement and what the focus is. And you could just see it and hear it. And in that column, I always said, anybody else? Like, who's next? I can't wait to see the next guy, because I don't believe, Chris, that people are going to be that cavalier and toss that around anymore after what Drew Brees got done to him when he tried to bring that up again. People don't want to hear that. Enough with the flag, enough with the patriotism, trying to cover up your racism. This is about police brutality and social injustice, and this is where we're going to be focused on trying to get solutions and change things.
Yeah, I think that I think there are several things that led to Drew Brees' apology. I think one, as you said, the pushback, and it was strong and it was all over the place, as you said. And social pressure is a huge deterrent and can be a huge corrector. And I think, and I'm going to get to this, I think Drew Brees has learned some things, and I think will learn some more things. So I think his heart, it can change, or is already in the process of changing. But even if someone's heart doesn't change, social pressure can get them to still do the right thing. There may be white people who don't like black people, who hate black people even, who think we're making too much noise. We should just be thankful to be here in America, even if it's worse for us than it is for white people. There's probably a lot that feel that way. But they know, don't go in the workplace using the N-word. Don't go on public sprees spewing your racism. They know it because of the social pressure and how that could affect them negatively. So whether he's changed his heart or not, the social pressure can get him to do the right thing. That's number one. Number two, I do think also he saw Malcolm Jenkins' tears. I mean, it's one of a defensive stalwart in the NFL. One of the more respected guys in the NFL. Tears.
Those weren't crocodile tears.
Right.
Either.
And here's what he said.
We're done asking, Drew. And people who share your sentiments, who express those, and push them throughout the world, the airways, are the problem. And it's unfortunate because I considered you a friend. I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
Yeah, wow. I think that had an impact on him. And
wow.
I think Cam Jordan said he had a conversation with Drew, which I'm sure impacted him as well. Now, as for me, I forgive Drew Brees. I've said things myself that are wrong. I've done things myself that are wrong. And I know I can't be forgiven for what I've done if I'm unwilling to forgive somebody else. But there is a difference, and this is what many people don't understand. There's a difference between forgiveness and justice, between forgiveness and ramifications for what you did. When my daughters, as I was raising them, they did things wrong.
Yep.
I always forgave them, but they still may have gotten punished. You still had to pay the price to learn from what you did. And so that's what I see in this situation. Like Michael Thomas, the receiver, said, I'm a Christian and I'm taught to forgive. I forgive Drew Brees and I think he can learn. He does not need to be canceled. He said, I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to listen. And I think there should be a lot of players who are willing to share with Drew their experiences. And you would think he'd already talked to some of them about this, but whatever. Share with them some of his experiences. And here's the thing, Rob. What he's got to learn and what he's really got to do to show that he's sincere is put action to your words. He does philanthropic stuff. He should start doing philanthropic stuff in the name of justice, fighting against police brutality, helping young African-American children who are trapped in poverty, things like that. If you really want to show that you have learned, that you have had a change of heart, that you now understand, those are the types of things you need to do.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I think Drew learned a hard lesson.
Yep.
And I think he had to learn it because he was oblivious to reality. Chris, it's one thing to have ideals. It's another thing to live reality. And that's how it came off. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
He's
yep.
talking about the flag and his grandfather and wearing that. That sounds all good. What are you watching in front of you?
Right.
How could you be so oblivious to what's happened as the country's being burnt down, Chris?
Right.
As the country right. is being burned down. Hello? I say right. it all the time. Is this on? That's why there was so much blowback.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Aaron Rodgers, your boy. Aaron Rodgers came
My
out.
My boy more now than ever.
Hey, you couldn't help but like what he said, and kudos, props to him. We talked about
he
Drew
Brees.
He
didn't have to say, Chris. He didn't have to.
He could have chilled. He could have just totally been quiet and watch Drew Brees get hammered, you know. But instead, Aaron made a strong statement. We talked about Drew Brees and his statement and how he got a lot of blowback from that. But here's what Aaron Rodgers said. It has never been about an anthem or a flag. Not then, not now. Listen with an open heart. Let's educate ourselves. And then turn word and thought into action. Great statement from
Aaron
Rodgers.
I thought it was well put together, Chris. Everything
Excellent.
You want in that, really.
Yep. And it wasn't that long. I mean, he said a few other things, but, you know, he just spoke from the heart and said a very strong statement. And Richard Sherman talked earlier in the week before Rodgers even came out. Because, look, you got to give props to a lot of these white quarterbacks. And you did, Rob, in a column you wrote for Deadspin. Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow's just about to enter the league.
And Trevor Lawrence at Clemson,
yes.
who's still in college,
right,
who spoke
right.
out.
They made some strong statements, and again, props to them. And Richard Sherman talked about the importance of white athletes speaking up. Here's what he said. Rob G is going
to
read it.
That's right. He said this to Albert Breer of the MMQB. He said, quote, "I'm impressed with the white quarterback speaking up because those are voices that carry different weight than the black voices for some people, which means the people who refuse to listen to a black athlete's perspective will hear the same thing said from a white athlete, but receive the message much differently."
All right, Rob, you have some strong feelings about that.
I do, and I'm not trying to dismiss Chris, and you know it. We talked about it pre-show. These guys speaking up, I think it's tremendous because in when you're looking at what's happening in this country, it's just about right or wrong. It's not black or white. It's about right or wrong, and most people know the difference between right and wrong, and they might not want to say it, Chris, but they do. They know even if it's your own people, that ain't right. They know
right.
it.
Right.
But in this case, I want to be careful. And Richard Sherman, I get what he's saying. But don't discount these black quarterbacks who are some of the biggest stars in the NFL and faces of franchises. Before I wrote the column, Chris, about the black quarterbacks, the star quarterbacks, you remember? None of them had spoken about this.
Right.
And now since then, and I'm not taking any credit, that could have been on their own timetable. I'm just saying, I wrote about it because it was missing. There was no Dak Prescott. There was no Lamar Jackson. There was no Russell Wilson. There was no Dak Prescott. I mean, who am I missing?
Deshaun Watson.
Watson.
He made a statement. He marched, though.
And Patrick Mahomes. Those guys were missing in action when all of this was going. You had four or five white quarterbacks already jump out and make their statements, okay? Since then, Russell Wilson has been out, Chris, talking about it. Dak Prescott put out a statement and donated $1 million for police
right.
training and all that. Deshaun Watson went out with the Floyd family, I believe, right, to protest in
yes.
Houston.
Yes.
And Patrick Mahomes also put out a statement. I haven't seen anything from Lamar Jackson, but everybody else kind of jumped in. All I'm saying is I feel a little weird, like people feel like we have to wait for white people, white quarterbacks to validate what we've been saying. And that's the only thing.
So big name,
prominent players who happen to be black have that cachet. Michael Jordan has cachet. LeBron James has cachet. Patrick Mahomes is the biggest star in the NFL right now. He has cachet. Those guys' voices, if you're a fan in the NFL or you're a white fan in the NFL, don't tell me that you don't care what Patrick Mahomes thinks or whatnot. That's your guy. That is your guy. And in proof positive, I was just watching 42 the other day, Chris, and it came apart where I just forgot his name, the general manager. Oh, my God. Branch Rickey.
Yeah.
Branch Rickey was talking to Jackie Robinson in like the training room by himself. And this is near the end of the movie, and he says, I was driving the other day in Brooklyn or whatever, and he goes, you made an impact. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, I saw some white kids playing in the sandlot, and I stopped to watch them. And one of the kids was emulating Jackie Robinson. He was doing all the same things that Jackie would do. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
On the base pass and whatnot. Right. And he was like, that's the impact. They all follow. They want to be like you. So I'm not saying that I'm not appreciative, Chris, or I'm poo-pooing them, but white quarterbacks don't have to validate our plight. Our people and our stars and our people should be on the forefront, and those guys should join in, but they don't have to take the lead for us to all of a sudden go, oh, yeah, okay, maybe there is a problem because Aaron Rodgers said something, because Carson Wentz said something. If Dak Prescott said something and Patrick Mahomes said something and Russell Wilson said something, people need to listen, and people need to get that message out. So that's my only thing, is looking for white people to always validate what it is we're going through.
Well, I think, are you saying that the black quarterbacks, because white quarterbacks spoke out first and then the black quarterbacks came, are you saying those quarterbacks seem to be waiting for whites to speak? Oh,
no.
Okay, it's okay, because
no.
They said
no,
it.
No. I'm saying that, like that's the stamp of approval. See, even Aaron Rodgers thinks this is bad. Hey, even Carson Wentz came out and said it. I'm saying, you don't need those guys to validate the plight. It's great to add them in and let them and have them speak up for right and wrong. But looking for those guys is if we have to wait for them to join in. Those guys, Chris, the black, five black quarterbacks I named who were around when Colin Kaepernick first kneeled back in 2016, they could have validated him. They could have validated the whole thing, whether Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or anybody else got involved.
Right.
If those guys would have validated Kaepernick. Tell me that it wouldn't have made a difference, Chris, if those guys validated him by kneeling with him or showing support publicly and saying what he's doing. I might not kneel, but I know what he's doing is right. And I'm with Colin Kaepernick. That would have validated the movement.
I think you make a decent point, but I think that I agree with Richard Sherman, and not because whites hold more, like because what they say is more important. That's not it at all. But because in a country that's 65% white, in a country where the economic system, the educational system, and the very justice system that we're trying to change is controlled by white people, where they control well over 90% of the wealth in this country. That is Richard Sherman's point.
But here,
is that with those people, it will mean more. It's unfortunate, but it will mean more coming from the white quarterbacks. Now, here's what I'll say.
Let me just finish.
Let me finish.
Okay.
black, I agree with you because I've called for black players in mass to do some stuff. But if it's just going to be speaking out what the white players say, if they're, especially if they're superstars and it's a lot of them, that will hold more weight with mainstream America than a black player speaking out. The black players have to go further. If LeBron, if this is where I agree with you, if LeBron James and Chris Paul and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Cam, well, not Cam, but Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, if they say, we're not playing, make all the plans you want for Disney World. Make all the plans you want for a bubble. We are not playing until we feel that justice is served, until the criminal justice system is changed. Yes, then we would be able to make a change regardless of what the white quarterbacks do or superstars do. But just us making a statement, heck, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, it doesn't get any bigger than that. They stood on a stage at the ESPYs and read about this a couple years ago, and we see the same junk happening. Jackie Robinson, that was 70 years ago. Okay, white kids emulating black athletes. This mess is still happening.
Yeah, but the only problem I have...
So what? They want to emulate us? This is still happening.
But this is also a country that had a black president for 8 years, Chris, and they do control the money, and they do control the laws.
Right?
And they do. But they voted for him because he had the right message. So I'm not buying that.
This was happening with a black president.
No, but I know it, but that's not my point.
George Floyd ain't new.
It
happened under Obama.
That's not my point. My point is... That this whole notion that it has to come from a white guy. It came from a black guy, and they voted for him. That's how he became president twice.
How much change
happened?
No,
that's not what I'm talking about.
Did much change happen?
That's not what I'm talking about.
We talking about saying something.
No, this is where we disagree, because just because Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady say something doesn't mean it's going to be change either, Chris.
Have we seen it? Because who put Jackie Robinson in Major League Baseball? It wasn't Josh Gibson and Jackie Robinson and black players standing up saying, take us. It was Branch Rickey.
No, but that's
it took a white dude.
But
that, I ain't saying nothing. I'm not saying whites are better. I'm just saying in this racist country, what they say and do holds more sway with the powers that be.
And in this racist country, they elected a black man for 8 years to lead the country, Chris, whether it's symbolic or whatever.
And what they try to say, we post-racial. Right? They was quick to say we post-racial.
I never bought into that. As a matter of fact, I remember having an argument with my nephew about that, because that's what the millennials were buying into at that point, and I never believed that. My only point is, I just don't, I always feel like, we got to be validated by the man. Let me just put it out there.
I agree with you on that.
We
got
to be validated by the man. It ain't good enough. It's always, my own people, when I walk the streets, Chris, and people are talking about the show or talking about FS1, I love all of the comments. It don't have to be from the man or white guys for me to feel good about what we're doing. If our own people
but
tell
Rob,
me that,
that's fine. Nobody's saying, I don't think Richard Sherman or any black person is saying, white said it. It means it's real. No, they're talking practically. You and I are on a white station. Let's keep it real. If white powers that be said, y'all getting too racial, we not doing, we have to deal with that. I mean, this is practical stuff. You've seen black people and whites get on TV and say, this is not a black problem. This is a white problem. Frederick Douglass said this. He said this a couple hundred years ago. There is no Negro problem. The problem is whether the American people have loyalty enough, honor enough, patriotism enough, to live up to their own constitution. He was talking about white people. They have the power to change this. Unfortunately, we don't without dire circumstances. And it's not going to be a tweet from LeBron James. It's going to have to be LeBron James saying, I'm not lacing them up. It don't have to be that for a white guy.
We could agree to disagree on this one, but I'd love to hear what people say.
I agree with your sentiment. I think if you're saying you don't like that people seem to give more weight to what whites are saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Patrick Mahomes is as big as any player in the NFL. And if we're talking about football players chiming in, his words
he would have to stop playing.
But I'm just, my point is, his words should count just as much,
it should.
If not more.
I agree. And George Floyd, black people shouldn't be getting shot down unarmed by the police.
We're talking about two
black people.
Things.
A third of black people shouldn't be in poverty.
We're talking about two different things.
You're talking about idealism. I'm talking about what's real.
No, I'm talking about the idea that just because white guys got to give you a stamp of approval, now it's a real thing. This thing could have been stamped by black people, Chris. That's what I'm telling you.
If they decided not to play.
Whatever the motivation is, it still could have been validated. We saw it, Chris, at Missouri. We talk about it.
Yeah, but we saw it. That's my point. They didn't wait for
the white coach or white players to validate them. They said no.
You said that's exactly what I said. I said, yo, the black players do have the power, but they're going to have to go much further than making a statement. Aaron Rodgers can make a statement, and white America goes, ooh. LeBron James can't make no statement and make white America take notice. He has to stop playing. I'm withholding my services. That's what the cats at Missouri did. That's why it worked. And we make so much money for white America on athletic fields that you're right. If we say we're not playing, things would change.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Shannon Sharp has, you know, as he is on everything, he's been very outspoken about this with Skip Bayless on Undisputed. And he had a serious issue with what Drew Brees said yesterday when Brees was asked about if players knelt for the flag or during the anthem next year when they start the upcoming NFL season. And Brees went into a soliloquy about how he would never kneel for the flag and he never, you know, he always would view that as disrespectful.
If somebody disrespects the flag.
Right, right. And so he got that pushback. But here's what Shannon said about Brees.
Drew Brees still doesn't seem to get it. Now, he issued an apology, Skip, but it's meaningless. Because the guys know that he spoke his heart the very first time around.
Correct.
Now, I don't know what Drew's going to do. But he probably should just go ahead and retire now. It will never be the same. Take it from a guy that's been a leader in a locker room for a number of years. At every step, Skip, I've been the leader in the locker room. What he said, they go like, oh, yeah, you know. No, they will never look at him the same because he spoke his heart. And Skip, and what he said, it wasn't what he said, it's how he said it. He was defiant.
All right, strong words indeed for Shannon. We may be able to get him on the show. We'll talk to him and try to get him on next week.
Maybe next week. And Shannon and Chris, you know, we've been here since FS1 relaunched and Shannon took this job, you know, and people weren't sure, an athlete, you know, having to go up against Skip every day and how
every
it would
day.
Work out. Yep.
Every
and
single
Shannon
day.
And Shannon has done a great job.
He's been tremendous.
He really has. He's researched Chris. He's prepared. He's passionate. We're not doing a commercial
for FS1. And
he's
good on other sports, too.
We're just talking about
him
because he does his homework. He's ready. He's ready every day and has done a great job and is a great voice. My only little critique there was, and you know me, Chris, I'm with the absolutes. He said he probably should retire. To make that strong, he should have said he should retire.
Okay. I mean, let's say he came that strong. Do you think that's right, though, that Brees should retire?
I think what Shannon is talking about is right about the way his teammates going forward, Chris, they might be able to play with people. We've all worked with people who we have little regard for, Chris, correct?
Yes.
And we got to work with them. We got to do stuff, right?
Right.
I could think of at least one person.
and he's not talking about me.
Right. Or Rob G or Alex. Or
I don't think he's talking about anybody on this show.
No.
So, yeah.
But my point is, so you just got to go out and get a job done. But I think what he's talking about, as far as it not being the same, it will be hard. Because at the time when the teammates were looking to him, the leader in the room, Chris, this guy who had done so much for New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
You know, having these relationships with the black players. But when push came to shove and black people were crying out and in crisis, he went to wrapping himself in the flag, the old reliable. That's what he ran back to rather than confronting it. They wanted to hear him denounce police brutality, social injustice. That's where we were, Chris, at that point when he spoke.
Right.
That's where we were. Even if, and I've said this to you a million times, Chris, we love it as reporters when guys say stuff that you can run with.
Right, right.
Just because we ask you a question, Chris Broussard, doesn't mean you have to answer it. And he could have said, even with Yahoo Finances interviewing him, and even gave you the hypothetical, Drew Brees could have said, not today. I'm not talking about the flag. I'm talking about Floyd. I'm talking about the innocent black men who have been killed in this country. Do you see my point?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to go there. I don't care what question they ask you. Stop making a reporter the guy. He asked you a question. If that's not on your mind and you have bigger and better things to talk about, Chris, you can always say next question. I'm not going to talk about a hypothetical when the country's on fire and people are hurting and there's other things that we need to try to make happen in this country to change this country. That's what people wanted to hear from Drew Brees, and they didn't.
Well said, Rob. I agree with what you said. I disagree with Shannon on a few things. One, I don't know exactly what he meant, and we'll find out when we can talk to him. I think, listening to the context of his comment, I think he was saying Brees has lost the locker room. These guys aren't going to look at him as a leader anymore, so he probably should retire. Because after he said he probably should retire, that's kind of the stuff he went into. I don't think he was saying because Drew Brees feels this way. Because Drew Brees made this comment. Because Drew Brees is insensitive to the plight of black America or, you know, whatever. He should not be in the NFL. I don't think he was saying that. If he was saying that, then I don't think that's right. That's what happened to Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick should be in the NFL, regardless of his personal views. He's happened to be honorable personal views. But your personal views, you still should be able to make a living. And so I don't even think Shannon was saying just because of what he said, he shouldn't be in the NFL. I think it was more because he felt like he'd lose the locker room. And I don't think he will. Because Riley Cooper, after he, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Rob, I mean, he was at a Kenny Chesney concert, which was obviously overwhelmingly white. He probably felt like, hey, you know, I'm just chilling. You know, there's no
black
here.
In Philadelphia, right? Wasn't it? It was in Philly.
I guess so. He played for the Eagles, of course. And he meant, you know, he used the N-word and said, I beat all of them N-words up. And so, and he was
because he got into an argument, right, with
a security guard?
With a black security guard. But it wasn't like it was a personal thing about him, you know, with the guy.
No,
were you arguing?
That was way worse. And yet, Michael Vick, who was the quarterback of the Eagles, forgave him, welcomed him back in, and he started the next 2 years for the Eagles.
Not only that, he got a huge contract, if you remember, Chris.
Yep. Now another one, I'm not saying this guy's a racist, but Twitter, which, you know, Twitter is Twitter, so we're not saying they're right. But he's got a rep. Nick Bosa. in San Francisco.
Yep.
He's, you know, he was very pro-Trump, you know, before he was drafted. And he's, now this doesn't make him racist. It might just be his opinion, but he said Black Panther's a horrible movie. He's tweeted Beyonce's music is trash. You know, he said, people feel that way about him, whether it's right or not. Yeah, from everything I can see, he's fine in the 49ers locker room. So I get it. Breeze is the quarterback. But I think that I'm glad the Black player spoke out. And my hunch, I mean, Cam Jordan already spoke with him. I think Alvin Kamara said he's spoken with him. I think that Black players are going to sit down with Drew, and I think he's going to be open to it and speak with them. I'm sure they may even have had a team meeting today, but he's going to address the entire team very soon, and I think it's going to be heartfelt. I think he's going to, you know, talk about how he's learned and he's listening more, and, you know, like, he didn't mean anything by it, and I think he'll be forgiven. Michael Thomas has already forgiven him. The great wide receiver has already forgiven him publicly. Demario Davis has done the same thing, the linebacker for the Saints. So I think, Rob, now, it's going to be a story. It's going to be something they're going to have to deal with all year. And to a certain degree, at least early in the season, it's going to be a distraction. And if they don't play well, it will become a huge story during the season. And so that could be a whole nother issue that this creates a negative. You know what I'm saying?
But it'll also be interesting to see how Drew Brees is received around the league, crowds.
Right.
I don't
right.
know.
Good point.
I think that there's something there, Chris. We heard the chants. You didn't get to hear them, but Rob G and I did. And it was a little surprising. And that was in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
That wasn't even somewhere else, Chris. That was in New Orleans, where protesters outside were chanting F Drew Brees after the comments. And so it will be interesting to play it out. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to have to do some things, as we said, to really first to show that you are sincere in your apology and you meant what you said. And if he's going to have to do some things, though, Rob. And look, you know this, too. Fans of opposing teams, they'll do whatever they have to get you off your game, you know? So even fans that might not even care what he said, they may bring it up in visiting field. Although, are we going to have fans? I mean, that's a question, too.
You're right.
Right.
We don't even know for football
that could
season.
Actually work out for the Saints in
well,
this
we already know that
right?
if we play baseball this year that the Houston Astros made out.